Hey everyone, this is Josh with Solopreneur Grind. I'm here with Brian. Brian, pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Josh. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Brian, you have a really cool story. Took a look at your website. We spoke a little bit back and forth, and I'd love for you to tell us, just start out by telling us a little bit more about yourself and your entrepreneurial journey, if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, I'll start, I guess, from the beginning. In 1981, I was working a full-time job and decided that I wanted more from life than what the job was providing me. And I had the attitude that I wanted to be rewarded for the work I put in, as opposed to just busting my butt and getting the same pay every
right.
2 weeks. So I was looking at various opportunities, but I was pretty limited at the time because I didn't have much savings. I didn't really have special skills. I barely graduated high school. So, obviously I didn't attend college, so I didn't have any kind of business degree or business background. So I was looking at various opportunities, and obviously I couldn't start a bricks and mortar store or sell products, and I wasn't going to invent something. So I was looking at types of services I thought that would be really easy to start. And I kind of decided that a cleaning business of some sort would be appropriate. It seemed to me at the time that one could start pretty simply, pretty inexpensively, and a lot of people don't like cleaning, so there is a market for right. those that want to do it. And I recalled a few years earlier, before my father passed away, that he did a number of things to... besides working as a full-time janitor, supplement the family income. He did some odd jobs. He shoveled some snow. He cut some grass. But he also cleaned up litter from a parking lot, from a shopping center, which was in our neighborhood. And he took my brothers and I along with him a couple times. And I remembered how easy the work was. It's just walking around the property and cleaning up litter. And this was done on a daily basis, so there wasn't an accumulation of material that you were pushing a broom and, there forever cleaning up all sorts of trash. So I thought I would investigate that opportunity. Make a long story short, I contacted a prospect on the phone, and he had mentioned that he was happy with his cleaners that were doing the office cleaning. But he was having a tough time finding a reliable person to show up and clean up the litter outside three of his small strip plazas, and asked me if I'd be interested. And obviously I jumped at it and gave him some prices. And I was fortunate that he liked them, because that's how it all started. I got those three buildings, and I learned from trial and error how to best service the property, the best time of day to do the work, the tools that were most effective. And over a period of a few years, I got better and better at what I did, and built the business from there. And actually, within a matter of months, I think it was 4 or 5 months, I was making more money cleaning parking lots than I was working at my full-time job. So I left my job and focused my attention to building my business.
Right. So is it really as simple as you're just kind of doing these sales calls, and then you personally were going around to each of the lots, and what were you had a broom, you had, what was the equipment and stuff like that?
Well, I was contacting property management companies, because those are your clients. Commercial properties need to be maintained, whether it be landscaping, snow removal, plumbing, electrical, everything that is needed to maintain a property is contracted out by the property management company. That includes litter pick. So they're my target audience. And so the best way to find them is obviously just at the time it was to go through the yellow pages. Nowadays one can find a list of different prospects just by doing a Google search, for example. And so I just phone them up. And I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm just, all I'm trying to do, my goal is to obtain contact information and find out, gauge their interest as to whether or not they're interested. And I've developed an elevator pitch over the years where basically I introduce myself and I tell them how my service is going to benefit them. Their people aren't interested in all the features and et cetera, and what, you know, about you per se. They're interested in how you can save them money and give them a cleaner property. So once they're interested, I send them information, or if they're even more interested at the time when I'm speaking to them on the phone and they ask for estimates, then I obtain the address and I go out there, take a look at the properties and, gather a price and submit that to them in an email. Years ago, before the internet, it was all done by phone or fax. But it goes there, and you have to be persistent. You just follow up, and it goes from there. The longer you're in business, the more referrals you get. Your best customers are your existing customers. So if you first start out with one property and they're happy with your service, in all likelihood, they're going to contact you and ask you to bid on the other two or three properties that they manage, whatever they have.
Right.
In terms of tools, I started out with tools similar to what my father was using. And, it was taking me a while to clean up because, you know, they're small capacity. This type of work, you need more than just a lobby dustpan. And I came across a great product that I still use today. It reduced my cleaning time. It made my service more profitable. I share that in my book that I wrote, but I'll get to that later. But I've been using that tool ever since. And so basically, it's almost as easy as going for a walk. My service is provided on foot, and I walk the sidewalks, the parking lot, the surrounding landscape, the entire property, and just sweep up any type of litter that I encounter into the collection bag. And once the bag is full, just empty into the waste dumpster on site and just move along to the next property.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And sometimes, you know, you hear about all these crazy companies and softwares and this and that, and people overlook the simple type of products and services like yours. What were the first few months like? You said within a few months, you started making more than you were at your full-time job. Like, could you tell us in a little more detail what those first couple months were like? How was the sales? How was it actually going out and doing all the work by yourself? And at what point did you, or have you decided to hire?
Well, I was quite fortunate at the time that my work hours were 2 in the afternoon till 10 p.m. So that afforded me the luxury of having the mornings off to market my service, to do the sales marketing, et cetera, the bidding. And then I was able to go to work from 2 to 10. And then when I got off work, I would go out and actually do the cleaning. And like I say, after a few months, as I started adding buildings, and it got to the point where I was working more and more of those late night hours or early morning hours, and it was getting tough to find time to sleep. I decided to leave, and I could scale the model and see that where the business growth was going, it would be more advantageous for me to spend my time marketing the business as opposed to still going to my work, the full-time job. So for a number of years, I kept it as a simple one-man operation. One of the reasons why I chose self-employment, besides the fact that I wanted to be rewarded for the effort, was I enjoy the independence. I enjoy working outdoors, not being stuck in an office, but getting around to different places and doing the work. And once I've finished my work, I'm done for the day, and I can do with the day as I please, whether it's doing some business stuff or doing some errands or going golfing or whatever the case is. So I did that for a number of years. And then at one point, I decided to investigate other opportunities because after 4 years, I was, I guess, like a lot of people, looking at the the type of business I was doing. And I was saying, you know, hey, I'm 24 years old. Do I want to spend the rest of my life cleaning up trash or cleaning up litter? And I was had totally forgotten really what the business was doing for me, how it was providing for me. I was getting hung up on the, you know, this is, I, you know, it's dirty work. Am I going to be cleaning for people? And after 2 or 3 years looking at different opportunities, I actually went back to school. I was thinking of going to college. I realized that I couldn't find anything else out there that was, you know, let's say more prestigious, was more glamorous, but yet still afforded me the same lifestyle and the type of working conditions that I had enjoyed. So I got back into it, but this time with my brothers, and we decided to, hey, let's see how big this business can get. Let's go full throttle. And we built the business with my brothers. Also, we have some people that work for us, but we employ their services as subcontractors. So it's a win-win situation for everyone involved. We've gotten to the point now where we've got upwards of around 150 properties and bill out over $650,000 a year in cleaning up litter contracts.
Right. Wow. So you're saying for the first few years, you didn't hire anyone and you were doing all the cleaning up yourself?
Yeah. It is possible. As I experienced, and most of the properties we service are small to medium size commercial properties, like small strip plazas, maybe some smaller office buildings, some small industrial properties where you have office space in the front, warehouse bay in the back. But you know, there's plenty of those, and it seemed to be most of the properties that that we were getting, and we still have and maintain. But I found it was possible to, you know, if you're working 5 days a week, most of our properties are done Monday through Friday. There are a few smaller ones that could, you know, that are being done Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But it's possible to do around 20, 22 properties in any given day if you're hustling. And that can bring in a six-figure income. I mean, you can hit $100,000. And I was doing that. And I was content with that. But then, you know, like I say, after a while with my brothers, so obviously we needed to bring in more properties. And then we were picking up some contracts or some larger developments where they were asking for weekend service. Well, you know, my brothers and I didn't want to work weekends. So we basically started hiring people to work the Saturday or Sunday or both days. And then some of these people were so happy with being able to do the work for us and not have to worry about getting the work themselves. In other words, just showing up and doing the work. You know, they were interested in picking up more properties throughout the week. So as we started adding more and more properties to our customer list, you know, we started offering some of these buildings to these people that wanted to work maybe an hour or two or three or in the early mornings before they went to their full-time jobs. So that arrangement has worked out very well for us over the years. And like I said, I started this in 1981. We're still going strong today.
Wow, that's amazing. Brian, I want to ask, because you said you didn't really have much formal education or business education. What was it like in those first few months getting started? Were you doing a lot of research? Were you just kind of flying by the seat of your pants? You know, how did you figure all this out? Was it trial and error?
Well, yeah, actually it was a little bit of both. Flying by the seat of my pants, you know, right. I would make mistakes. I mean, you know, I would learn from them. And also too, I mean, there was a lot of good publications that I would take up from the library or pick up from the banks or the government put out publications at the time, how to start a business, you know, how to open a business bank account, et cetera, how to market your business, your service. And everything I've learned over the years has come from trial and error, but also there's a lot of good material out there. And it's even more accessible these days with the internet. You know, on making sales and how to close sales and how to sell the benefit as opposed to selling features and et cetera, et cetera. And I guess I got good at it, but the biggest thing I learned from my parents, I mean, I come from a family of working poor. I mean, we were a blue collar family. My dad, as mentioned before, was a janitor, and he supplemented the family income with odd jobs. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, but she babysat. We all always took in renters in our basement suite. And so I learned a work ethic. I got my work ethic from them. And I learned that, you know, nothing is going to happen if you don't make things happen yourself. Basically, that's the secret to my success, I believe.
Right. Wow. So what would you advise? So let's say that, you know, that there's a lot of listeners that are working a 9-to-5 corporate job, whatever it may be, and are interested in doing something like this. Do you have any advice for them? And, or you can kind of take this whichever way you like. How did you transition from that full-time job to then having two jobs to then going back to having this one job full-time?
Well, you've got to be careful. You know, when you're working a full-time job, obviously you should be paying most attention to that. But if you're looking at doing something on the side, you want to make sure it won't interfere with your full-time employment. A lot of people are starting things on the side and finding out that it actually benefits and makes them a better employee if that's what they want to continue to do. There's two camps out there. There's those people that want to do something on the side and just keep it like that and you know, keep their full-time employment. And then there's the other crowd that would like to at some point work for themselves and just go all in. And so just take it one step at a time. Look at what you would like to do. You know, if you're not currently doing that in your job, but you know, find out what your passion is, find out what your interests are. You know, with myself back then, I just decided I wanted to work outdoors. I wanted to do something where I could just, you know, go do my work, not punch a clock. When I'm finished, go home. And, you know, with the cleaning, it's pretty simple work. It's not dirty work. It's not difficult work. As I said before, it's almost as simple as going for a walk. And that's the way I kind of look at it. I get paid for going for walks every day.
Right. Right. And so what would you recommend, let's say, you know, someone has an idea or they like your idea, they want to give it a try. What would be the first couple steps? You know, they're past the idea phase. What would the first few steps be in your head?
Well, actually what I did is I wrote a book called Clean Lots, and I started getting the idea for it actually, you know, 4 or 5 years after I first started the business, because I thought, wow, this is such a great opportunity. And I think a lot of people would be interested in it, whether it be just as a side gig or hustle or eventually a full-time career. And so I wrote my book from personal experience. More than just a book, I also provide free support. And I think that's pretty much unheard of. But if someone buys my book, my contact information is in there, and they're able to pick up the phone or send me an email anytime they want, if they need help starting this business. And I can do that because, if someone buys my book in Tallahassee, you know, they're not going to compete with me. I'm not going to compete with them, but I'm more than willing to help them get the business started. And it is such a simple business. After a while, you know, you don't need me. However, I do appreciate all the time hearing back from people, you know, hearing their success stories. And they're, you know, like I say, with my background, with my educational background, there's no reason why people can't be more successful than I.
Right. And has there been anything you've learned since starting with your brothers? Like, what was the difference between, obviously, you know, the intentions were a little bit different. You now had a team you were willing to hire. Have you learned some things since that, you know, kind of second, almost like second generation version of the company?
We were obviously more motivated because, you know, we had to provide, make sure there was enough income to support three families as opposed to just myself. But we're all pretty much on the same page as to what we wanted from the business. Oh, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
No problem. Just regarding the work with your three brothers and kind of what your approach was there and any lessons you've learned since starting.
Well, actually, I guess what we could learn, I mean, we, even though we're pretty similar in what we wanted, there's always sometimes, you know, some differences in opinions. And I remember one of my brothers was saying, or at the time he was thinking that, you know, we should branch into other services and, you know, offer more services to become more profitable and not be so much of a niche business or service. And so for a period of time, we did some snow removal and some lawn cutting, or, you know, I don't really want to call it landscape maintenance, but we, you know, cut the grass and trim the and pull the weeds, etc. And but we found out that there's only so much time in the day, and, you know, rather than trying to be a jack of all trades and master of none, and you know, our main focus was always the litter pick, but, you know, we didn't want to get bad reviews or complaints about our landscape or our snow removal service, and perhaps it affects our entire business with that company. We decided gradually just to phase out of those services, and I don't think we lost more than one or two accounts because of that. Our customers appreciate the fact that we do what we say we're going to do. We're going to show up. We're going to clean the litter from your properties. Also, we act as an extra set of eyes for them. I found one of the secrets to our success is to give more than what you say you'll do. And so what we also do when we're at the properties, and it helps cement that business relationship, is if we notice the building, it just got tagged with fresh graffiti, or a stop sign got run down, or with a waste dumpster is overflowing and someone's dumped off some mattresses, all we do the first thing the next day is communicate that to our customers, and they really appreciate that. And like I said, it helps cement that relationship, because you're constantly dealing with your customers, and you're letting them know that, and it makes their job easier. So they appreciate doing business with you. And if anything, if they pick up more properties, they're going to contact you as opposed to a competitor. And so that, I guess that's the biggest thing that we learned when, you know, we thought what we would try to offer other services, and then basically came back, around again to the fact that, you know, the litter pick is what is our bread and butter, and we take pride in doing it better than anybody else.
Right. And you see that all over the place now, about, you know, niching down, specializing, things like that. So that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious more from the business perspective. How does your pricing work? Do your customers pay monthly? Do they have to sign up for a year or more? Or how does that work? Or is that hidden in the depths of the book?
Well, everything is covered in the book, but I can tell you now, it is contract work, where we enter into a contract to provide our service, and we basically state what we're going to do. And basically it's to, you know, if it's the case of a daily service, walk the entire property, clean up all the litter, empty any common area litter containers that are on the sidewalk, where you just pull out the trash liner, put a new one when it becomes full. That's in a monthly billing. So we provide a price for per month, and it's based on our labor charges. So there is no formula like for square footage, because you can have two identical properties and one can generate more litter or trash than another will. And examples would be, you know, if there's pizza by the slice businesses, or, you know, if there's a school in the neighborhood or right across the street, there's going to be more kids there, more, not just kids, but more people, more, it's going to be a busier property and it's going to generate more trash. So for that reason, you know, you go into it, you take a look at what's there and what's around, and you know, you basically come up with the time it would take to service the property, and you bill it out at an hourly rate. And, you know, every market in the country is different in terms of what you can charge for any type of cleaning service. But we've been pretty successful anywhere from $30 to $50, $60 an hour, you know, for the litter pick. So, you know, one of the great things about this job too is like when you formulate a price providing a thorough service, but after cleaning it a week, a month, 6 months, you get very familiar with those areas that tend to accumulate most of the material in that property and the areas that don't seem to have much material. And you learn some shortcuts that reduces your work time, but obviously doesn't sacrifice the quality of work. So basically, after a period of time, those contracts become more profitable because you learn how to really efficiently service them.
Right, right.
Most efficiently service them.
Right. Yeah, it sounds great, Brian. It sounds so simple. I mean, obviously, in practice, there's a lot that goes on and a lot that could go wrong. What would you, kind of wrapping up here, do you have two or three kind of tips or pieces of advice for someone who's sitting in their 9-to-5 right now? They know they want to do something more. Maybe something like this interests them. What would you tell them if you could tell them anything?
Well, you know, obviously, I buy my book. But you know, in all honesty, I mean, this business isn't for everyone. You know, some people enjoy it, and you know, frankly, some people would prefer maybe more of an online opportunity or something that maybe they're indoors. But like I said earlier, just find out what you would like to do. Find out what your passions, your interests, where they lie, and try to find something in that field. You know, with my opportunity, I get great satisfaction knowing that I'm providing a green service. I'm helping out the environment. I can see the results of my work. And, you know, I do get compliments not just from my clients, but sometimes the businesses, the late night pizza places, the late night or the all night convenience stores, they, you know, they see me working, you know, they'll come out, you know, say hello, and they'll offer me a free coffee or a free pizza. And, you know, I take great pride in the service that we do. And, but I guess that's the point is you have to be happy with what you're going to do, whether it be a career or a side hustle. And, you know, I found that out from experience, like I said, years ago when I sold the business the first time and spent a period of years looking at various opportunities. And I just came back to my business and this opportunity because what it provides for me both emotionally and financially.
Right. Yeah, that's some great stuff. Awesome, Brian. Really appreciate you talking about this. Do you want to just take a second and plug the book and your website once more?
Yeah, you know, if you're interested in getting more information, check out my website. It's www.cleanlots.com. That's once again, cleanlots, that's one word, .com. And everything is there. And, you know, if you have any questions at all, you can fill out a form on my contact page. And I personally will get back to you and answer any of your questions.
Awesome. And we'll have a link to that website in the description. Brian, thanks again for coming on. That was really great. And we'll have to keep in touch.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. And best of luck to you as well.
Thank you.